Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 19. And Tyler, would you do me a favor? When there, would you make sure that door is closed for me? Thanks. Wow. All right. John chapter 19, verses 10 through 13 is what I want you guys to really concentrate on, but we're going to read 1 through 15. But the verse that I want you guys to input from is verses 10 through 13, okay? So let's start in verse 1. John, we'll start with you, and everybody go around until we get through 15. Would be great. They therefore cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." That's a great political answer, but we're not dealing with those verses tonight. 10 through 13. I'll give you guys a second. 10 through 13, see what stuff jumped out at you there. It's very powerful. We're going to spend some time on that. And it would do well for the people in authority to remember that. So, yeah, we're going to spend some time on that tonight. That's very powerful. I think Pilate saw through a lot. It is interesting, though, isn't it? When people have an agenda, what they will compromise.
These guys, the chief priests, weren't happy to have Caesar as their king. Hey, but that's not this week anyways. I jumped in the rabbit hole with you here. What else? Caleb.
Interesting too, Pilate would probably be pretty intimidated. He wants to release him right after he says that statement in 11. Because Jesus being silent the whole time. And even that is almost intimidating. The fact that he doesn't have to say anything, and then he says that, you have no authority over me, and I have been given you from above.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, as a result of this, Pilate endeavors to release him. So he started to know. He was almost a little bit.
Definitely, and we're gonna hit on that one quite a bit tonight too. It's an example for us too, guys, for sure. Anything else?
What
10-13. So we got 10 and 11, pretty good. The pinch in verse 12, right?
Basically, you tell him, that's what I was trying to get at. Basically, tell him the guy who can have charge of this area, saying, you're no friend of Caesar if you release him.
And word will get back. So they're making sure Pilate is going to do what they want him to do. So, all right, well let's dig in tonight. I think, you know, the question of authority, John, and you know Caleb, even the way Jesus handles that, the question of authority is really, because it's honestly a question of all of our lives, really. You have three types of people, I think, in this world. People who blindly follow. It's just whoever is the boss, they're okay. And they just do what they're, you know, going to do what they're ordered to do. You have the rage against the machine crowd that's like, we're tired of these authoritarians who they put on their pants the same way I do, and they try to, you know, throw their weight around. And then you have Christians who recognize who the ultimate source of authority is and the way that we answer to Him, and then we treat those who are in authority, whether they do it correctly or incorrectly, we're doing it for God, not for them anyways. And so basically those are the three groups of people. And the question of authority is a big one. I think even John Hahn, I can't remember exactly his prayer tonight, how this came up, but aren't you thankful for the authority of the Word? Like when we Bible study with people, isn't that really the question? Is the authority. Once you establish the Bible as the authority, I think it's relatively easy from there. What does it say, right? So the question in our lives is, I think it really does come down to a question of authority. And I think it's really important to remember that there is a great God whose hand governs human history. You know, there's a section at the end of my dad's booklet of proof that the Bible is the Word of God. He calls it the plan. And when I was making the Targeting Truth videos, I called it History is His Story. And, you know, the Bible is a thread of history, really keys in on a very fine thread. Like, you don't find out about Chinese history in the Bible. But basically, God's plan as it pertains to His people, that's what He's revealed to us. And that's the plan that matters. And everything else and everybody else is going to carry out, one way or another, is going to carry out that purpose of God. And let's go to Luke chapter 1. A little side note here while we're turning. This is a prayer from Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she found out that you know, she's going to bear the son, Jesus, and she's going and she visits Elizabeth. But two of the greatest prayers, guys, recorded in the Scripture are Mary and Hannah. So, ladies, if you guys You know, you think about your prayer lives and the power that they have. The scripture is really clear about that. Matter of fact, even talking about widows, and the scripture talks about taking care of widows who are widows indeed. One of the things is that this woman, for her to be put on the list where the church takes care of her, is that she serves the Lord with prayers and entreaties day and night. So, just to give you all, it's good for all of us in prayer, okay, but just a couple of great examples of women praying in the scriptures. But Luke chapter 1, look at this prayer from Mary, Luke 1, 51 and 52. And Mr. Schaefer, can I have you boom that from over there? Luke 1, 50. Oh, okay, thanks. I'll pass. Rich, is your voice too from chemo? Or are you okay? You're good? Luke 1, 51 and 52.
He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble.
I just like that reminder. Because God's sovereign. His will is going to be done. He scatters those who are proud. He raises up those who are humble. I think I mentioned it on Sunday, but God's opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We oftentimes, I think of people in authority as the ones that you see. But rarely are the people that you see the ones really in authority. Even the Roman governor, Pilate here, who seems to have a bunch of authority, when it actually comes down to it, there's even people behind the scenes that are pulling his chain. Okay? But whether it be the president, for example, of the United States, or kind of the money changers that are really behind a lot of the rulers of this world, because any time God wants to, he scatters. Anytime he wants to, he can take somebody out and he can put somebody else in there. It's important to remember who God is. Colossians chapter 1. I've been going through study on the book of Daniel with a few people recently, and one of the points in the notes I'm going through is Daniel is unapologetic about five things, and one of those five things is the total government of God. And we're going to actually, Lord willing, we'll get back to something in the book of Daniel tonight on that. But because God is the one who has full authority. And Colossians 1:16. Caleb Wilson, would you read that? Okay, and I remember Mr. Hopper loved the end of verse 18 so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Do you remember the word that Hop liked, Mark, on that? First place, and he's preeminent. Preeminent, first place in everything. What'd you say? Bingo. Bingo, I liked it. but people have a tendency to forget that, don't they? I mean, I don't know what your bosses at work are like, but my guess is most of them aren't very cognizant of the fact that they are not the boss. Most of them aren't very cognizant of the fact that they're going to answer to the Lord and that He's the one who's really in control. And the Scripture, when the New Testament talks about slaves and masters, and one of the things that encourages slaves, particularly if your master is a believer, hey, treat him this certain way. But masters, if you're a believer particularly, remember you too have a master in heaven. Okay? A good reminder. Okay, there's somebody who is overall. But, you know, the Gentile world, really, you can see it from the Tower of Babel and onward. You know, the Tower of Babel, what was the idea? You know, we're going to build this tower to reach to heaven. But it reminds me always of the one world order, guys.
Like, we are going to build our kingdom. And nobody's going to stop us. And our agenda is going to be done. And our same sort of mentality. That's a Gentile world. Basically, either forget about God or shake their fist in His face. So, Pilate wasn't necessarily thinking about this. And so when he asks, let's go back to John 19. I just want to look at something, the order here. So this kind of started, I know I said verses 10 through 13 for our comments, but it kind of started when Pilate heard that he had made himself out to be the Son of God. Pilate heard this statement, he was the more afraid. Then he asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" And like Caleb, like you said, Jesus doesn't answer. This whole time, Jesus hasn't been answering the charges. Then he doesn't answer where he's from. And then Pilate follows up with this, "You don't speak to me?" It's probably like I am with a school kid. Like, hey, I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to answer me. Yes, Aiden? Yeah, he was. And I think he was teasing them a little bit because Jesus was one of them. So you have this group of people, the Jews, and Jesus was a Jew. And so they're saying, well, he claimed to be the king of the Jews. So Pilate isn't going to just say that he claimed. Pilate's going to say that the charge in which Jesus is going to, because they're going to say he's claimed to be a king and nobody is a friend of Caesar. Or nobody who claims to be a king is a friend of Caesar. So he's going to say the charge that he's going to put him on is the king of the Jews. And so he's kind of teasing, what? You want me to crucify your king? Why would you want me? And then he got them to say, we have no king but Caesar. So that's a very good point. It's actually in a few, probably won't get to it till next week, but the Jews had been waiting all for 1,000 years for a king. And now they're saying, we have no king but Caesar, because they were that mad at Jesus. They wanted him killed. It's weird what people do, isn't it? Because, exactly. That's the story of a lot of people's lives right there. Aiden, for those of you who are listening online, Aiden said they wanted Jesus to be king, and now they don't. Story of a lot of people's lives. That's a very... Yeah, he's looking at things. All these guys.
Pilate, same way. You know, that's what I'm saying. Pilate says he finds no guilt in him. So I think he's saying he's not a king.
I don't view this guy as a threat. Yeah. He's not a king. And
right.
And Jesus had even told him, my kingdom's not of this world.
Right.
If he was, my servants would be fighting. So I think Pilate, just the way that Jesus carries himself, Pilate does... He's catching a lot of what Jesus is saying.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, he's thinking physically, he's no... Yeah, exactly. Caesar doesn't have anything to worry about from this guy. Nikki. I think there's a lot to that. Why does it bother people? Why does it bother people? Because they know it's true. And it hits their guilty conscience button. So these guys, why are they? Because they know he's the king, but he's not the king they want. That's the problem. So, very true. Okay. And let's go back to Psalm 2, guys, because Pilate is trying to now, you know, throw the heavyweight around. Don't you know I have authority to release you? And I have authority to crucify you? Most people at that point in time were shaking in their shoes a little. Any of you guys ever had to take the witness stand in a court case or something? You like doing that? You a little nervous? Were you a little nervous? Yeah, I didn't like doing it. A couple times I've done it, I was like, there's something about being on the spot, right? So, and those who are in authority are pretty used to people kind of cowering at them. You know, my interaction with the policeman in my life is, every time but once when I didn't get caught when I was younger, I'll just say that would have been bad. But every other time has been no big deal. Okay? And, I'm sorry, Elaine, I shouldn't have said that. But pretty much every time but one, my interactions with police officers have been, they've been very polite to me. So I think you're polite to them, they're polite most of the time. But one day, I'm coming back from immersing somebody at Riverfront Park. So I immersed somebody down there. I'm driving back. I'm actually on the phone with my dad, telling him about it. And this policeman going the opposite direction, he turns his lights on, turns around. Well, I had done an early morning gym workout not too long before that, and like 5 a.m. and run up against the curb and rip my front license plate off. So I didn't have a front license plate. So that's why he pulled me over, because I didn't have a front license plate. So from the very beginning, I don't know what it was about this guy, but he was on a mission. And I could tell right away. Like, he was just... So, you know, he starts asking me some questions. I was like, I was down at Riverfront Park. He's like, you been drinking? I was like, no, sir. I actually just baptized somebody into Christ. You know, he kept like wanting to escalate. Well, I had this, all my information, my packet, it didn't fit into, I had this tiny little glove box. So it was in the back behind the seat over here in this packet. And I knew, like, this is not a guy, I do not dare reach back anywhere. So I was like, when he was asking for my stuff, I said, it's in the packet in the back seat. I said, is it okay if I get back? He's like, what's it back there for? I was like, because I don't have room in the glove box, sir. You know, I was like, you know. But he was one of those guys, like, I'm the boss and you're going to do what I tell you to do. So you do have, there are people like that. And let's go back to Psalm 2. As a side note, guys, we're working on this tonight, but if you are in of a boss or the very worst level management, maybe 001. It's not great. It's not great management. Okay? Yes, Elizabeth?
I literally, I go around and I tell everybody they're
talking. So, And I've often thought too, is whether, you know, if your parents or whatever, if you have to tell your kids, if you have to remind them that you're the boss, you probably aren't doing a great job. I mean, there might be a point or two when they're younger, you gotta. But if you're having to tell somebody you're the boss, you're probably not really the boss. And that's the other thing I find very interesting in this situation with Jesus and Pilate. A few different spots I find Jesus starts out on trial, but Pilate very quickly is the one on trial. So now where Pilate's happened, he's afraid. So now he's trying to pull out his authority card to try to make Jesus afraid, and it doesn't work. So Pilate actually finds he's the one on trial. And Psalm 2 is just a great reminder. The whole chapter is awesome, but we don't have time, so let's just do 10 through 12. Elena, would you read those, Psalm 2, 10 through 12? So This is a reminder to all kings to show discernment and take warning to all the judges. There is a king who's been installed on Mount Zion. Hey, you better... I never know whether to say homage or homage, Elena. Some people pronounce that H silently. But do homage to the king, like to before the Christ. Like bow down before him or you will pay the price. And so it's, you know, just a reminder to all the kings of the earth, any authority you have comes from above. And so Jesus is going to follow up on that. I do find one other thing I think very worthwhile for us as Christians. Because Pilate starts a discussion with Jesus way back in 18. And Jesus has a little bit of conversation with about truth. Pilate walks away muttering, "What is truth?" And from there on, Jesus isn't going to answer his questions. I'll just encourage all of us. Like, there's a time to... If somebody isn't interested in truth, like, you don't need to keep engaging with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, people will sometimes, they'll come back, "Well, what about this? And what about..." It's like, hey, if you're not interested in truth, like, doesn't the scripture talk about fruitless discussion, speculation, all the... Like, if somebody's not interested in the truth, you're not obligated to keep carrying on a spiritual conversation with them. Okay, people make their choices. Now, do it the right way, like Jesus did. Okay, don't be a jerk about it. Don't, like, I'm not talking about giving them the silent treatment. I'm saying you don't feel compelled to keep doing that. Okay? Or keep going and Bible studying with somebody that doesn't want to be a disciple of Christ. Like, there's a time to shake the dust off your feet, right? So Jesus here, he isn't going to keep answering this guy's questions. But when it came to this one of authority, Jesus does follow up on this one. He says, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me up to you has the greater sin." I want to just take a little side note. You ever hear, like, no one sin is not worse than another? And there's an aspect. Okay? James talks about that. James chapter 4. If you break one commandment, you break them all. So as far as being guilty before God, you know, you... No matter which of the commandments you break, you're guilty before God. But there are some sins that have farther reaching effects, and there's also culpability, more responsibility sometimes. And like, there's a reason even in the criminal justice system that there are the main criminals and then what, accessories or to the crime? Cat. So... Accomplices. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. So, thank you. I need to get up on my criminal research. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why, Tyler, you know anything about that. But anyways. Oh. So, you know, there is further responsibility on some of these things. I just find it interesting. What, as a side note, you guys tell me, what's the point Jesus is making here? When he says, "He delivered me up to you has the greater sin."
A third party way of telling him that he is a sinner without telling him he's a sinner?
So, yeah, I think Jesus isn't letting him off the hook.
Little.
But he's saying that, hey, you're a pawn in the game here.
Right. Yeah.
The guys that actually did this, they're going to be held more accountable before God. Matter of fact, when Jesus is on the cross and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing," who do you think he's talking about specifically there? Could be everybody. I've thought about that. But specifically, like the Roman soldiers and those guys who were, you know, they don't, who were there. But the guys behind the scenes... The chief priests, did they know what they were doing? And I think that's why he says, "The guys who delivered up to me, up to you, they have the greater sin." But he also reminds Pilate of his place. You would have no authority unless it was given you from above. Now, guys, I find this, let's take this the right way. Look at the way Jesus was. Respectful,
could go there, no fear. Sometimes if people want to, like Christians want to rage against the machine themselves, that's not the right way to do this. If you think about it, and this is just maybe the way I'm wired, so it might not work for you, but for me, if I'm in a situation where somebody in a position of authority is being an absolute jerk, I just actually have this picture in my mind. Okay, I know where Christ is. I know He's made me who He's made me to be. I have a lot more authority than this person, whether they recognize it or not. And actually, as soon as I flip that picture in my mind and understand like my standing with God and where I'm at, it empowers me to actually then be able to be humble to this person that's throwing around their authority. And it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? Maybe it's just the way I'm wired, but it helps me to just picture that in my mind. Actually, Christ is here. He's raised me up. He says I reign with Him in the heavenly places. So it doesn't matter what this person thinks they are or whatever. I can be, I know my standing with God. I know where I'm at. The only reason that they're there is because God's allowed them to be that position. But my standing with Him's right. And so I can be humble. And I don't care how much of a jerk they're being. I can humble myself before Him. Just do it for the Lord. Maybe that'll help you guys. It helps me in my, like I said, in my mind, the way I'm wired. There are those who are going to be cast out into outer darkness. There's one. The one who knows the Master's will. The one who doesn't know the Master's will and doesn't do it, he'll receive few lashes. But the one who knows the Master's will, he'll receive many. That's the other one that. Yeah, but it's
where it's gonna hurt, you know, to get there.
Yeah, and some of these guys are gonna, like, the scripture is pretty clear, a stricter judgment.
Yeah.
So, let's go to Romans chapter 9 for a second. So sometimes it's tough for me to picture in my mind, like, why does God allow evil authority in this world? I mean, if he scatters and raises up, why does He allow that?
But it's got to swell up to say, yeah, they're created for destruction.
Yeah. They are. And in Romans 9, we're just talking about that. But I think there's a lot that plays into this. For one thing, typically people get the kind of government they deserve. Just the reality. You read the book of Judges, and it's God's intervention, but you think about His spiritual laws. Like, you turn away from Him, you're going to be a slave. And you're going to have evil rulers. But God still orchestrates and is running all of this for His purpose. It doesn't matter if you're Nebuchadnezzar, who we're going to look at in a second, or one of the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds or, you know, President Trump. Doesn't matter. Like, God puts you there and He will carry out His purpose through that individual. How about Pharaoh himself? Romans chapter 9. Verse 17. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth." And now let's jump down to verse 22. This is what Hop's favorite one was on this, Mark. "What if God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction?" If you read through all this, there's two types of vessels. Those for honor and those for dishonor. We're all going to be used by God. You will, like, one way or another, God will carry out His plan. So, let's just be on the winning side, right? Might as well make sure you're on the winning side. Caleb.
And I think, too, as Christians, we're content with that. That's one of the best ways to stand out, like in your workplace or whatever. You're not too worried about
Definitely. Yeah, and I think even the people, lots of times when people figure that out, that you're not impressed by that, or they kind of, it can go one of two ways, but oftentimes I find they leave you alone. It's just like, oh, yeah, it doesn't even matter to this person, so quit. We're not. But if you fight against it, then it becomes a power struggle and all that stuff. So, good point. Daniel chapter 4. I like what. So, you guys remember Nebuchadnezzar, right? King of the world, ruler of the world. Builds the hanging gardens of Babylon. You know, he sees the dream, the statue. He's the head of gold. And pretty soon he builds a statue and tells everybody, you have to bow down to this, right? And then. You guys know the story about the fiery furnace and all that. Then Nebuchadnezzar sees a dream, and in this dream, this tree that gets chopped down, and Daniel tells him, "That's sorry, hate to say it, but that's about you, and you're gonna end up crawling around like a beast for seven years." Okay, and Nebuchadnezzar says, "Oh, okay, thanks for letting me know." And then a year later, just proud and arrogant as can be, and boom, it happens to him. But at the end of that, look what he says in Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. This is Nebuchadnezzar. It says, at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. But He does according to His will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, what have you done? Okay. Nebuchadnezzar realizes, like, the total government of God. And guys, people are going to realize that either here or on that final day. Every knee is going to bow, right? And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So I just want to, for us to remember as Christians, guys, that Pilate here, even though Pilate is he doesn't have enough backbone to do what's right, he's still, the hand of God's going to be carried out perfectly. Okay? God's not being surprised by Jesus being crucified, by Pilate caving in. God had Pilate there at that position at that time in history. When Christians are tortured or beaten, you think God's still being glorified through that? Absolutely. Romans 8, for your sake we are being put to death all day long, right? We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. It's really tough sometimes, but we got to turn our mind from the perspective of looking at things here and the way the world keeps score and the way and look at it from things up there. This earth, guys, is such a short thing. We got to remember that. Rich.
I have had a person that I knew, I was visiting with him about my illness, and he, you know, wanted to know, what are you doing? And I go, well, other than Sundays, you know, because I get to go to church, you know, it's kind of boring. And he looked at me and he actually, do you still go to church? It's like, my time here is limited and I'm going to waste it by going to church. And my thought is, there's no better place for me to be.
Amen. Really does. And I think it's so easy to get into the trap of down here of this is real, but the scripture is really clear, guys. This time on this earth is temporal. This body is temporal. That spiritual body that we're going to get, the house not made with hands, that's eternal. And the scripture is clear, the eternal is the real. You think all these guys that throw their weight around authority and like they like to sit and have the house at the top of the hill? What's that going to look like in eternity? Every single person going to be exposed for who they are for eternity. God will raise up the humble. And so right here, right now, no matter what's going on, like you have been placed in this spot in history, in your position to shine
that prayer to shine for Christ. You had a terrible boss? Be the most respectful person to him of anybody there. You see what happens. Daniel impresses me, guys. Do you realize Daniel under Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel under Belshazzar, that was the one guy he was like a little bit, because you could tell Belshazzar was like a spoiled, rotten brat and pulls out the utensils, pulls out the holy vessels and use them for his party. Like, Daniel's still not a jerk, but he definitely doesn't show the same level of respect. But with Darius, okay, throughout all these, throughout different, he keeps his position not only through different rulers, but through different world kingdoms. And the guy's respectful, and I got a little freebie for the fun of it. I'm convinced, this is my opinion, so I shouldn't say it, I'm pretty convinced. You ever look at Isaiah chapter 44 and 45, prophecy of Cyrus the Great? He's going to allow Jerusalem to be rebuilt and be inhabited. So there's two places in there that's interesting. One is, he says, so that all men may know, from the rising of the sun to the setting. But there's another place, a few verses earlier in Isaiah 45, where God says, tell Cyrus that I've called you by name so that you may know. How would Cyrus know? How would he ever get to see that? Well, Daniel and Darius were like this. And Darius was like ruling over the Jewish part of that part of the kingdom under Cyrus. I think through Daniel's relationship with Darius, that's how Cyrus actually was made aware of that prophecy. And that's why he allowed the Jews to go back and rebuild. It's just amazing. If you conduct yourself the right way, with the right respect, understanding God, Daniel never compromised one bit. Okay? When he was asked to do corrupt things for the, he didn't do it. No corruption was found in him. But made him respectful and respected by even these world rulers who had some arrogance problems themselves. And God used, I think, him and his relationship for his prophecies to be fulfilled. And we see the same thing here. Jesus, like, perfectly calm. Okay? Totally respectful. And Jesus knows what's going down, and it's for God's glory. So I just want to encourage us all, remember this question of authority. Nothing happens unless it's from above. All right, what else do we need to hit here? Oh yeah, so go to Acts chapter 4, because I think it's not only true of Christ, because Caleb, I think it was you, pointed out the way that Jesus has been silent, like, let's just put this word, unflappable. Jesus totally, like, the governor doesn't get under his, all these guys shouting, crucify him, like, this isn't scaring Jesus. Jesus just in control. And so we see the impact that had on the governor, where he made attempts to release him. How about this one from Acts chapter 4? So this is when Peter and John are arrested after healing the lame man in chapter 3. But I love Acts 4 verse 13. Tyler, would you read that when you get there? Acts 4 13? Guys, it makes an impact on those who are in authority. They saw the confidence of Peter and John. These guys are untrained men. And what's the conclusion they came to? They recognize them having been with Jesus. Don't you think that's the same conclusion people will come through to with us? By the way, if you struggle with this, 1 Peter is a great read. Tells you how to be respectful no matter the situation in suffering and in persecution. Because you know what? God's in control. So Pilate made efforts to release him, but the Jews had studied their governor and they knew exactly how to pressure him. Guys, I like the way Steve Doty says this. The devil doesn't know your heart, but he does know your past. It's like the devil studies you and me too. So he knows how to put the pinch on to try to get us to cave.
Pilate spat in the caves. So I just want to encourage us too on this, like, make sure we're resisting the devil, okay? Practicing that so he's fleeing from us. Practice fighting back. And then I guess we'll just kind of wrap this up. How they got Pilate finally to cave was what we talked about earlier. Hey, he claims to be a king. Anybody who claims to be a king is no friend of Caesar. But I do want you to, even though the Jewish conspiracy, guys, at this point in time, it looks like they think it's working perfectly according to their plan, don't they? The story wasn't over yet. I like Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah chapter 8. Here's my very loose paraphrase. Don't be paranoid about everything, all the conspiracies that are going on. It's the Lord of hosts whom you should fear and regard as holy. Like, God's plan is going to be done. Here these guys think that they're doing this amazing thing and getting Jesus crucified and have no clue that this is actually, it's the guarantee of their own demise. Not only in the spiritual eternal realm, but it's the guarantee of their demise even politically. Like, the things that happened with Christianity, the Jewish system, by 70 AD, that thing's done. God has a great plan. And it's, I think the complicated thing, Rich, I'm going to go back to what you were saying. Our life on earth, you know, if we're of strength, what's the scripture say? 70 to 80 years? If by strength, that's so short. That is so short in even the plan of history. So in your lifetime, sometimes it can look like the bad guys are winning. The story's not over. God wins. And He wins through us when we do what's right. I just want to summarize all this tonight in terms of what we can take away. I think it comes down to one thing. Trust God. I think trust of... I used to, you know, I've shared with you guys a little bit. I used to struggle with frustration, a little bit of anger stuff because I was trying to control things. You just realize that God's in control. Like, you can be... It takes away fear. It takes away anger. It takes away all... Like, having to try to build your own kingdom in this world. None of that, like... Rich, you can have peace, but your buddy probably doesn't understand that. But it's like... You have a peace that goes beyond comprehension because you trust God. It impacts every single thing we do. And... So, let's just make it practical. Wives with your husbands... Guys are co-workers, and women, your co-workers too, and your bosses. Policemen when you get pulled over. I know a bunch of you guys are Trump fans. That's fine. Doesn't matter if Trump's in office or Obama or even Hillary. Doesn't matter. God's plan is being carried out. So, trust it. And be calm. And watch. It's kind of fun. Actually, it is really fun. Do you think Jesus is kind of enjoying this a little bit? Tables turned on Pilate. So, you know, enjoy it. It's a good place to be. Mark Taylor, would you close us with a word of prayer?
Yes, sir.
Amen.